Enjoy the Staff DNA Cure Bowl starting right now. That's we can get going. Got it on the TV. Welcome into Open Gym here on Texas Sports Unfiltered. Myself, Patrick Davis, alongside Matt Gallatin of Texas Longhorns on SI. And of course, you, the third member of Open Gym. Text lines open 512-222-9328. Or of course, over there on the chat, Facebook, Twitch, X, and on YouTube. Now you get a hold of us and talk with us during the show. We love to hear from you, especially during the holiday season. I know some of you guys are starting to travel or, you know, starting to maybe get off work or have family events or have to go watch the 17th nativity play at the school and then go to the choir practice, the choir rehearsal, and then the choir show and everything that's happening this time of year. So we appreciate you hanging out with us. Matt, have you gotten into the festive time of year yet with all of your plans and have things started to pick up, or is that kind of next week when you get into it?
Yeah, we already had a Christmas light viewing night where we drove around in River Oaks in Houston and looked at some Christmas lights. We're going to go again tomorrow to a different area of town, okay. Build some gingerbread houses. We've got our Christmas tree up. We turned my deer mount into Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer for the holidays.
Way to go.
So, yeah. And Christmas pictures on Sunday.
That's I don't have that much. Most of mine involve drinking with friends. It's kind of what most of my thing is, but that's kind of most of my thing for the most of the time. I did finish my Christmas shopping today. Nice. Feels late and early the same time, but I'm not buying that many gifts. Not in a financial situation to go out and buy a lot of stuff. So it was a little bit easier. I just have to figure out what kids want, which is ridiculously hard. And even harder the older you get, you're like, I have no idea what these kids want. So you just kind of got to keep asking people and be like, is there anything that they want that's under $300? Because everything they want, I'm like, well, what do they want? They're like, oh, they want this really nice thing. And you're like, well, I can't. That's not happening.
I have 8 nieces and nephews. Oof. So typically my go-to move is gift cards, just Visa gift cards.
Okay.
You know, put this towards something you like. One year I made the mistake of getting my brother's kids the gift cards first. And I was like, oh, $100 is good. And then I was like, oh, shit, I still have to get my sister's kids and I can't get them less than I gave my brother's kids. So I ended up spending $800 on gift cards and it was the worst idea ever. So we're knocking that down to 50.
I would have used those gift cards to buy other gift cards. Rip it open. All right. We're buying $50 gift cards for everybody. We're knocking this down.
Actually, smart.
Hey, look, I'll be honest. I think Visa gift cards are cool. I think cash is always better, but I also am an adult. If you're a kid, the Visa gift card might be better because you don't have access to it. But I know sometimes Visa gift cards have been problems of getting the last like $4 off of them.
Yeah.
So you have to find a place where you can do it, where it's not just going to be declined. That's the thing. You're like, oh, so I found that before, but it's good for a lot of stuff. They are very good for a lot of stuff. I've gotten plenty of them in my day. And they work pretty well, across the board, for everything you want to get with them. But yeah, it's getting closer to that time. And I keep, as someone who, you know, doesn't have a decorated house or anything else, it does not feel particularly festive. Today it's been rainy and everything. I walked the dog. It's kind of, you know, you're not feeling necessarily where it's full there. I don't know if the decorations have been as much around the neighborhood. It feels maybe they're a little late with them this year. It feels like there's probably still going to be, like, this weekend will be the last houses getting their stuff up, which is a little late for it normally. Because the other houses got it up after Halloween, which I thought was way too early. So it's a really fine window. But I'm trying to get more in the holiday spirit. I'm trying to, now that we're like, 8 days away, I'm trying to get more into it. But, you know, it is what it is as you get older. We got a lot to get into today. Going to talk some more bowl games, talk some more portal, get into our NFL power rankings later, talk a little bit about the new quarterback of the Miami Dolphins, new starting quarterback of the Miami Dolphins as well.
Who might that be?
We'll get into Texas versus Lemoyne last night as well. That was another thing that happened. And I'll bring up the Spurs losing. Spurs losing in the NBA Cup. Wasn't all bad, but it was we'll get into all of that as the show goes on. But Matt, I did want to start off with a little bit about some of the bowl game season has started. So we talk about the holidays and everything else. And there was a decent one that I missed, and it turned out to not be really decent, but it was one that I would have watched, which was Washington and Boise State. Ends up Washington blows out Boise State 38-10 in the bucked up LA Bowl. But that one has already happened. That one was on Saturday. But now we start to get into a little bit more games. Last night we had the IS4S Salute to Veterans Bowl. Doesn't sound like a real thing, but it is. That was a real one. Right now we're having the Staff DNA Cure Bowl with Old Dominion versus South Florida. Tonight you get the 68 Ventures Bowl, Louisiana versus Delaware. Is that the final LA Bowl? They're getting rid of that one, CB? I did not know they were getting rid of it, but it was a decent one. The bucked up LA Bowl was not bad there at SoFi, at least of a matchup. So, Matt, I wanted to kind of get your opinion, as there's still plenty more. There's football almost every day of the week now. We are getting plenty more football. But, you know, some of these games are better to watch than others. So I've got some of my top bowl games, Matt. I wanted to see if you had an opinion about your top bowl games. We know that the best bowl game is the Texas bowl game, and that's not necessarily tourism or anything else. It just is the most interesting bowl game outside of the playoffs, of course, outside of the playoffs. But the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl, Michigan versus Texas, you look through every bowl game, is going to be the most interesting. What other bowl games, Matt, are you looking at that you kind of like the matchup, you like the two teams, you like what you're going to see, and like just a little bit, we can give some people some other things to watch here over the next few weeks of some decent games. We'll go over the big ones, and then we'll kind of look at some of them that are coming up.
Well, the first one that jumps to mind for me is the FCS championship game between Montana and Montana State. I think that's going to be an awesome one. I don't know, man. Like, Penn State and Clemson would have been interesting if this was a playoff game, but both of those teams suck, so I don't think that, like, the names are cool, but I don't think that one's going to be any good.
At the Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl? You always have to say the name. The names are the best part about a lot of these bowls.
The Pop-Tarts Bowl is pretty interesting, BYU against Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I had that on my list. That's an interesting one. That's on December 27th, 2:30 game. For the Pop-Tarts Bowl. But that's an interesting one, Matt, because Georgia Tech versus BYU is an ACC team in Georgia Tech that we saw have a lot of hype in it. I don't know if Haynes King's going to play in this game or not. But you assume that this is going to be a matchup between two teams that are BYU. Are they going to be pissed off and come in and just try and run Georgia Tech out of the building? Or in the battle of ACC versus Big 12, does Georgia Tech take the shot back at them in this one? We know Georgia Tech has a lot of talent across the board, and BYU is a little bit more of top-heavy, I think, in their talent. They paid for a little bit more talent than Georgia Tech, just comes from Atlanta, so they have a lot of, like, talented young players. So it's going to be an interesting mix of BYU seeing if they can keep their high-level talent still playing ready to go in this game, or is it going to be Georgia Tech, who just has, you know, some more guys that with the opt-outs are going to be able to play better.
Well, I just looked it up while you were talking. Haynes King is playing in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. So I think that gives Georgia Tech a distinct advantage because I think he's a much better quarterback than Bear Bachmeier. He also doesn't wear a gross number. And I think BYU's a fraud. I really do. So the thing that concerns me about Georgia Tech, and really the only thing that concerns me, is Buster Faulkner is leaving. I don't know if he's coaching in the bowl game or not. I have not seen. Yeah. But when you have a new play caller, or if that play caller is still there and he's, you know, kind of double handling these duties, I think that can play a negative effect. So that would be my only concern there for Georgia Tech. But I think that they're going to win the game.
Yeah, and it's just that's one of those ones. If Georgia Tech wins against BYU and BYU doesn't get we had 15 guys opt out, then it is even worse news for BYU and their we should have been in the playoffs conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are the big ones of, you know, without that old conversation. I mean, it's the same thing for Texas. If Texas gets, you know, raced by Michigan, even if over half of our defensive starters are not playing in the game. We did see Jalen Gilbo announce today that he is going to be entering the NFL draft, which is no surprise. That does go with everything we've seen, that he will not be participating in the bowl game. But, you know, even if you look at that, it doesn't really matter. The narrative is still, well, you guys were complaining about not being in the playoffs, and you can't even beat Michigan. And so that, whether it's good or not, that is the national narrative that surrounds these teams that are around the bowl play, around playoff-like ranking, when they go in the bowl game. It's one of the reasons Notre Dame didn't play in a bowl. It's because they couldn't afford to lose it after complaining as much as they did. I think teams like BYU and Texas and Vanderbilt have a little bit better of a leg to stand on, because once the playoff rankings came out, they did not continue to bitch and moan. They said, okay, all right, we're going to go try and do what we can. So I think that one is for BYU, and it is for the final AP poll. If BYU gets smoked by Georgia Tech, they'll drop more, and Texas will be finished the season after bowls as a higher ranking. You know, we're still trying to get that 10-game win for Texas, but it's an interesting one of the Pop-Tarts Bowl that Saturday before New Year's. In the dead period, Matt, between Christmas and New Year's Eve, when nothing really gets done and no one wants to do any work, that period will have the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Also, it's just a fun bowl to watch because Pop-Tarts really goes all out for it.
Yeah, I in terms of Texas, I don't think it matters if they win the game, but I know that Steve Sarkisian really wants to win it.
Yeah, and I agree with you in one sense. I'm saying the national narrative will matter.
Yeah, no, I know. The thing that I'll say about that game, which just real quick, is if Texas can't beat Michigan with all of the drama and the coach getting fired and all of this stuff that has happened in the program, that narrative is just going to be that much louder. You know what I mean? Like, it's,
oh yeah,
it would be a bad look. But I think they're going to win it, so it doesn't matter. The next bowl game that I think is going to be a lot of fun is the Alamo Bowl.
Yes, I'm with you.
TCU and USC. Josh Hoover versus Jordan Maiava. Great quarterback matchup. Probably going to be a lot of points scored in that one. I don't know which way I'm leaning in this one. I tend to lean USC, but I don't know if Jacoby Lane, their top wide receiver, or Mekhi Lemon, their other top wide receiver, are going to be playing in this game. And if they don't play, then I'm going to take TCU.
Yeah, it's going to go back and forth. Because again, we're going to have to wait until, you know, the week of, and we'll see who's really playing and who's not. Once we get those reports, then it becomes a little bit easier to actually make picks in these. But that is another fun one of USC, seeing where they stand. If they can get a step forward, seeing Maiava before next season as well is going to be a lot of fun. I like that one a lot. We can also mention another one on December 27th. CB, I think that was fake. I think we saw that was a fake one with Josh Hoover as a furry. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that was fake.
I think that was a fake one, though. Kinder's Texas Bowl is another interesting one, just solely where LSU's at. Kinder's Texas Bowl is LSU versus Houston. That's a night game on December 27th. But I think that's an interesting one to see if LSU, you know, can figure out something in the middle. Is Lane Kiffin coaching that bowl?
No, he's not.
Well, I mean, Ole Miss just hired Frank Wilson.
But he's going to coach. I think he's going to coach the okay. Texas Bowl and then come to Ole Miss.
So what you're saying?
Massive hire by Ole Miss, by the way.
So we're saying that Ole Miss is allowing an LSU coach to stay at LSU to coach, but not letting an LSU coach come back to coach.
Wait, say that again.
Ole Miss is allowing an LSU coach to stay at LSU to coach, but not allowing an LSU coach to come back to Ole Miss to coach.
Well, they're allowing their offensive coordinator to come back.
I know it's a weird thing. It's just funny because it's all this back and forth between those two schools.
Well, I think that the craziest thing that I saw out of the whole thing is that Ole Miss and LSU are basically swapping 17 coaches or something like that between the two schools.
Jeez, that's crazy.
It's wild.
But I do. I just want to see what LSU, like, if there's it, what give, you know, if there's guys playing to stay at LSU or if everyone's checked out. And then Houston gets to get a big bowl win. Even if LSU doesn't show up, it's a big bowl win for Houston.
Yeah.
If they come in and beat an LSU, because again, these are things that you go in like 2-3 years, they'll just be like, no, Houston beat LSU. And it was a big, I mean, it's a fun matchup too, because I think the Texas Bowl is in Houston, right?
It is, yes.
So you get Houston and LSU have two giant fan bases in Houston. I know Houston should have a giant fan base, but LSU has a big fan base in Houston as well. It's not a far drive from LSU. So that, like, I just think that's a fun matchup for to be played at in Houston for the Texas Bowl. I think that all of that is fun for what they get to do there.
Here, oh, I'm trying to find the list of opt-outs. But here's what I think is going to happen in this game. I think LSU is going to be checked out.
Yeah.
I don't think that they really care about this game. Garrett Nussmeier is opting out, or he's injured, so he's ruled out. Aaron Anderson is out. Nick Anderson is is injured. Whit Weeks is opting out. Mansoor Delane is opting out. Ashton Champs is opting out, or he's in the transfer portal. Caden Durham, I think, is going to enter the transfer portal as well. Ahmad Bro is going to be in the transfer portal. They have a lot of guys that are opting out, but Houston does as well. Stephon Johnson, Rashawn Stanford or Sanford are both injured. David Ndukwe is injured. But here's what I think is going to happen. LSU is going to be checked out. They don't care. They just want to move on. Frank Wilson's going to be like, well, I'm not going to be here anyway. Why do I give a shit if we win this game? And Houston is going to go all out. And then the Big 12, despite all of that, the Big 12 fan base is going to be like, see, we're better than the SEC. Screw the SEC. Houston beat the worst bowl team in the SEC. It's like, all right, whatever helps you sleep at night, buddy.
I don't know. I think it'll be fun. It could be a blowout, but I think it'll be fun. Another fun one, Matt, is happening the game before the Citrus Bowl with Texas is the ReliaQuest Bowl. Vanderbilt versus Iowa. This will be Vanderbilt and Clark Lee trying to show that they, again, are a team that deserves to be in that conversation and go out there. Do we know if Pavi is playing?
I mean, who cares?
If Pavi is playing, then you expect Vanderbilt to win by 30. But if Pavi doesn't play, then it's going to be like 8-12.
Honestly, man, I think he's going to be like, well, you know, I got to prepare for the NFL draft and he'll make some sort of show about it. And then he won't get drafted.
Well, he's not going to get drafted because he's 5'6".
Yeah.
He's shorter than Doug Flutie.
Is there somebody who has hurt his image more in college football than Diego Pavia?
No, not really. But I think Diego Pavia was always a powder keg. And there were probably people who've done it, but not stars. Not Heisman candidates.
Yeah.
And most of them do it once they turn pro. And then they go out and they become like they say dumb things.
Johnny Manziel, maybe when he was like 19, 20 years old. But yeah. Diego Pavi is like 24. He should know better.
Did you see the Heisman voter that shot back at him?
No.
There was a Heisman voter who basically came back and goes, if you were 19 years old in your first or second year, then I think we would understand your comments and your lack of class in this. But the fact that you're in your sixth year of college, we might expect more from you. Which you're like, right. Hey, this is a sixth year of college. Maybe he should be a little bit more mature about it. Yeah, but we know. When Johnny Idiot Face is his idol and mentor, it does make you think a little bit more about it. But those are some of the bigger ones, I think, that'll be interesting. Look, I watch bowl games because I love football. And I get they're not great, and the storylines aren't great college football. But by the way, we're probably going to lose a lot of great non-conference games now, too, because of this. I get that bowl games aren't as good, but I'll still take football because we're going to be bitching and moaning about not having football here in 2 months. So I'm going to enjoy being able to turn on the TV and having a game on, and then, you know, maybe sometimes see if there's a line I like, maybe do a little research into a game and, you know, put something down on it a little quick to make it a little bit more interesting. But there's then you also get to just, you know, enjoy the names of some of these bowls. Tomorrow we get the Xbox Bowl. That's happening at the Star in Frisco, Texas.
Interesting.
That one is tomorrow. That's Missouri State versus Arkansas State at Ford Center at the Star in Frisco, Texas. That's tomorrow night.
Such a bad venue for a bowl game.
It is horrible. Actually, I don't know if it's bad because how big is it? It's got to be small, right?
It's like 10,000 people.
Perfect.
They play high school games there.
You don't need a big place for a bowl game. There's not going to be a lot of people there. It's Missouri State versus Arkansas State. So I don't know. Maybe they all get Xbox stuff too, which will be nice of them.
I think they do.
Friday, you get the Myrtle Beach Bowl presented by Engine. I guess Engine is a thing, not the noun Engine, but the company Engine, the proper noun Engine, not just an engine in general. Kennesaw State versus Western Michigan. You also get on Friday the Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl. It's another fun one. The famous Idaho Potato Bowl is always a good one. I like this one name a lot. Bush's Boca Raton Bowl of Beans.
Hell yeah.
Played at Flagler Credit Union Stadium in Boca Raton. Toledo versus Louisville in that one.
That's a good one. If I had to pick two bowls to play in so far that we've listed, I would pick the Myrtle Beach Bowl and the Boca Raton Bowl.
Yeah. What about the Go Bowling Military Bowl?
Where is that?
That one is at the Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium in Annapolis, Maryland.
Yeah, I'm out on that one.
The Bad Boy Mowers, the one you mentioned at Penn State and Clemson, is always an interesting watch because it's played on a baseball field. So it's interesting to tune in for a little bit because that one's played at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
So it's always kind of interesting to see how they line that up. And then you remember how big baseball fields are too when you see that.
I think I found the best bowl game name.
Okay, what you got?
And I don't think it's close.
Okay.
The Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl.
Yeah, Miami of Ohio versus Fresno State being played at Arizona Stadium in Tucson, Arizona. Yeah, that is the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl. It's also on the CW network, which feels perfect for the Snoop Dogg Bowl.
It does. It really does.
Yeah, I think those are the best ones that we have. I don't know if there's any other really silly ones. Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl.
Yeah, we love the Sun Bowl here in the Gallatin family in El Paso, Texas.
It is. I did not know Tony the Tiger was sponsoring it this year, though.
Yeah, the Sun Bowl used to be a big deal.
It did. It did used to be one. This year, Arizona State versus Duke is not terrible, except for the fact that Duke, you have the ACC champions in it.
Yeah. I don't know if this is still the case, but there was a myth going around for a while. I don't know if it's true or not, that there are bullet holes in the side of the Sun Bowl stadium that have come over from Juarez, Mexico, and they hit the stadium. I don't know if they ever fixed that or if that's even true.
I've heard that before, yeah.
But I hope it's true.
Texas State's going to play Rice in the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl there in Fort Worth. And then, yeah, the Duke's Mayo Bowl is always the grossest bowl to watch.
Not be watching that one.
It's so gross. Every year I like turn it on because I'm like, oh, football's on. And then I turn it on and then I remember and then they show usually Mike Golick. I don't know if he's still going to do it, but usually I think it's Mike Golick who agrees to do this, who goes in and then eats all the weird stuff with mayonnaise, which is so disgusting to me.
It's making me sick already.
Eating Oreos with mayonnaise?
I have a request.
Okay.
Let's get rid of the Duke's Mayo Bowl, number one. Just make that not a thing ever. Let's make it the Nutella Bowl or the, something that actually isn't disgusting. And then the other one is, can we come up with a better sponsor for the Citrus Bowl? Like, I love Cheez-Its. I think Cheez-Its are a tier one, S-tier snack.
But you want, the Minute Maid Citrus Bowl.
But calling it the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl makes it sound like it's not a good bowl game because everybody calls it the Cheez-It Bowl. And it's not the Cheez-It Bowl. It's the most, you know, it's the best bowl game outside of the college football playoff that we have. But let's call it like, you know, the Tostitos cheese or the Tostitos. I almost call it the Cheez-It Bowl, the Tostitos Citrus Bowl or the Minute Maid Citrus Bowl or something that like is a good
avocados, the avocados from Mexico Citrus Bowl. I'm really trying to work with the word citrus in here.
Something else.
Can we get the Margaritaville Citrus Bowl sponsored by Margaritaville's across? I don't know how many of those there are left after Jimmy Buffett passed away. I don't know if we're still got a lot of those Margaritaville's left, but we could. Yeah, something. I get what you're saying. I think Cheez-It's a decent sponsor because they actually spend money. And like one of the big things of why they have these and like Pop-Tarts and those things get decent bowl games is because they actually spend money for infrastructure to make the game nice. Versus some of these brands who are like, put up some cheap banners up there, man, and we're done. And we'll walk into a bad place that's run down. We're not paying any money to fix anything up. Concession stands are half open. There you go, the Jose Cuervo Citrus Bowl.
There you go.
Is it not the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl anymore?
No, I think it's something else.
Do we get rid of that?
The Verbo Fiesta Bowl.
Oh, VRBO. I mean, they're good for getting a vacation place, but yeah, I would have thought they would have still been the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. I just think of it as that.
See, I like the way that the Rose Bowl does it.
Presented by.
If you just did the Citrus Bowl presented by Cheez-It, I would think that would sound so much better.
Like the Myrtle Beach Bowl presented by Engine.
There you go.
So the Citrus Bowl presented by Cheez-It. I think I like that. I don't think Cheez-It does. I think Cheez-It wants its name front and center.
Yeah,
and let's just take the money.
Let's just find a better sponsor. Let's go like anything else, like the Lucy Breakers Citrus Bowl, the Zen Citrus Bowl.
The worst things. The lemon scented vape Citrus Bowl.
The Copenhagen Citrus Bowl.
Oh, just awful. Just awful. I did want to ask this, though, Matt, and I'll ask this of everybody on the text line and chat as well, because I'm a firm believer that expectations do need to be closer to reality, and your expectations do really set your mood and everything going forward. And I've been asked this question a bunch of times in the last 2 weeks about, I guess I do, I think Biff would like getting doused in Cheez-Its if they win. I think Biff would be all about that.
Biff seems like Sark, he'd be all about
Sark
it.
Maybe not as much. Sark does not seem like the fun-loving, pour food on me type of guy. but the question I have, Matt, is what are the expectations for Texas in the Citrus Bowl? Where are you happy with what ends up happening? Because I think we've talked about this, that the main thing you really want to deal with is you want to see the young players get in and play. You want to see us. But I've been asked, like, what if Texas loses? And you go, it really depends on how they lose. Because if Texas loses where they play their players and Michigan just comes out and they're a barn on fire and they're pissed off about everything else that's happening, and you just go, okay, Texas just opted out too many guys on defense, and that offense for Michigan, Bryce Underwood lit it up, and they were just playing lights out. But I get it. It was kind of like our defense a little torn up. I wouldn't be super mad. I wouldn't be happy about it, but I wouldn't be super mad. But if we lose by two scores, then you're like, okay, now it's starting to be a little bit worse. And if the offense doesn't get going, where we don't know we have, you know, as many opt-outs on the offense right now. I'm still assuming we're going to have a couple on the offense, but we haven't heard as many. We're assuming now DeAndre Moore is probably out because he's declared for the draft. But when looking at this, you're like, if the offense doesn't work well, then I'll be more upset than if the defense isn't great, because I know how many players we're losing on defense for this game. But the offense, you want to see play a little bit better. So there's just those things in the game. So when I throw it to you and I throw it to you guys in the chat, what is it your expectations of where you would say this is a successful bowl game versus this was a catastrophe? And where's that line between success, catastrophe, and then greatest bowl game, you know, the best thing that could have happened to us?
First of all, Roy, I think this is an excellent idea. BK, let's get this in the works. The Open Gym Citrus Bowl presented by Texas Sports Unfiltered. I love that idea.
There it is.
I think this is kind of a complicated question because I don't think that if Texas loses, it's a big deal. It's kind of like the NBA Cup to me, Patrick. Like, if you win, it's great. If you lose, it doesn't really matter. I think what matters most in this game is getting some of these young players some run. A good performance from Arch Manning would be great. But, you know, I think that, like, if you're Texas, you want to play Dalen McCutcheon a lot. You want to play Elijah Barnes a lot. You want to play Jonah Williams a lot. Xavier Filsimi, Cade Phillips, Kobe Black. I would play Michael Terry III a lot at running back. Get him to fill the C.J. Baxter role and just see what you got. And I think you can still beat Michigan that way. It's just, you know, here's the way that I think this would go well. And I think that Joe is kind of on the money here. You play the first half, and then if you're winning, great. You can continue to play to win the game if you want. But if you're like, you know, we really want to get some of these young guys some real experience, let's just play them in the second half. It doesn't really matter. I think that would be okay too. I think at the end of the day, though, I think Sark really wants to win this game. And I think he wants to win this game not only to be the first Texas team to win 10 straight game or 10 games 3 years in a row since, you know, the 07 to 09 teams with Colt McCoy. But I think that he's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder about this whole college football playoff thing. And I think he's going to want to go out and show it. Whereas I think Michigan's going to kind of be like, well, we lost our head coach. Our whole coaching staff's probably going to be gone. A bunch of guys are going to enter the portal. We don't even know if Bryce Underwood's going to be back next year. Let's just go and have fun and see what happens. And I think Texas really wants to win it.
I do too. And I think, you know, I think there is something to be said about you have to play the game to win the game. And, mm-hmm. you know, Sark is such a culture guy and so into messages like that, that if this is the next generation of players and a lot of these guys are going to be starting for you next season, you don't want their lasting memory to be over the offseason. Oh, we could have won, but we didn't try. We could have won, but. You just don't want that to be in their mindset. You don't want to walk back in and have to deal with them on social media and with their friends. Oh, we would have won, but you don't want those buts. You just want to be able to take care of it. And now we don't know what Michigan's going to show up. Odds would say, and logic would tell you, that Michigan is going to show up a frazzled, not necessarily disciplined, not necessarily really fully into it mentally as a team. That was what logic would tell you, that they've been through a lot, that these are the same guys who had to get dealt with calling being a cheater all season because the team 2 years before them cheated. And so they're still dealing with that. And a lot of these guys came in around that, didn't play part of that team, but were, you know, still lumped in that they're cheaters, that Harbaugh was a cheating guy and everything else. And then to go from that to then your coach does these things that to everyone else is a punchline and to you is your life. And so it's very easy to see them be completely out of it, but there's also a chance that somehow Biff is able to rally the troops and get guys to play at a level to go show what Michigan can be. And people will play for the school they came to. And people will play at that extra level. I know that's a smaller percentage chance, but it's a chance. And for Texas, you could deal with the same kind of two sides of it. Of are you able to get your team pumped up when you were kept selling them the playoffs all year long, selling them the championship, selling them everything else, and then that you fall short of that? And are you able to get your team ready to go? And so the answer I've kind of given is it really has less to me to do with what Michigan is. And it has a lot more to do with what I see out of Texas in this bowl game. that I'm not overly concerned about what I see from Michigan. If Michigan just comes out and dominates and plays great, then I'd be like, wow, that's really surprising. But I think that's more in the line of I'd watch it and go, Texas, what are you doing? Like, I don't want to see PK play super conservative defense the entire game, but I feel like he's going to because they're going to have so many young guys.
But like, what would be the point of playing conservatively?
Because you're trying to not allow them to score 40 on you. And you're like, we're going to mess up some places because we have guys in the wrong spot. I'll let you finish.
Well, I was just going to say, like, if you really want to get these young players ready for next season to play big-time snaps next season, like Jonah Williams, Elijah Barnes, Lance Jackson, Phil Simi, Kobe Black, Cade Phillips, like, all those guys, I think you call the defense the same way you called it against A&M. And you're just like, hey, if you want to play in this system and you want to be a starter next year, you have to go do these things. So we're going to go find out if you can do these things. That's the way I would approach it. If they make mistakes and there's bust in coverage or whatever, fine. But at least they're trying to play the system the way that is meant to be played.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you 100% on that. That you want to see them come in and be aggressive and go after it and not try and disguise their weaknesses, but attack with their strengths. And Now, you don't want to be, you know, so over the top that you are playing your guys. You do want to be, if you're able to build a lead in the first half, you're able to play well, you want to be able to, not rest, but not risk injury. You'd like to be able to do that because we know there were a number of guys who were just because of the long season, because you had to play everybody so in depth to get to where you were at and then playing Ohio State in that last game last year, you know, you're a little bit more beat up. And so their spring practice was not what it needed to be. Because they were so beat up, still recovering from injuries, still recovering from things that kind of lasted all season. So with all that, you know, I think that there lies a place of where you do want to be conscious of playing more young guys. You want to give guys a chance to shine. You want to, I think, again, in this bowl game, you want to see a lot of players play. You want to see guys that may enter the portal, who may be questioning what their role is on this team. You want to give them a chance to go out there and see, to know, should we really keep this guy? Or if he leaves, it's not that big of a deal. Like, that guy had 3 blown coverages. I'm not overly worried about if he hits the portal now. Like, we know what he is. This is what we kind of thought. But we haven't seen him in game action. In this game action, he just didn't look ready to play. So if he does leave, we don't want him to. We'd like to keep him. We have a package offered to him that we feel is worthwhile. But if he's going to go, say he's going to get more money elsewhere, God bless, go have fun. And we wish you the best of luck.
You know, another player that I think is going to be key in this game for Texas, and I think is going to get a ton of snaps, is Justice Terry.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm interested to see what they do with him. I mean, I feel like they're probably going to play him on the interior, but I would be interested to see if they play him at that jack position, you know, where Ethan Burke has been this entire time. And I think that you want to see Colton Vosick there as well, and see what you can get out of him, because I think that his future is certainly up in the air in terms of whether or not he's going to be back. But as of right now, you know, Ethan Burke hasn't opted out yet that I know of. So maybe he ends up playing, gives it one more go, tries to put some good stuff on tape for the NFL and that kind of thing. But I'd be shocked if we didn't see a ton of Justice Terry.
I'm with you. And I think you would like, I mean, I'd love to see him at multiple positions as well. Mm-hmm. You know, see where he plays well, see where he fits in with that line. I'm with you. I think that is... Like seeing Justice Terry and Colton Vosick on the field at the same time, how they play well together. And, you know, I'm with you. There are some of those guys you'd like to see. I'd like to see in the running back room. I'm with Michael Terry. I'm with getting Clark some carries. I'm with getting James Simon some run as well. Some of those guys that you're trying to figure out where they're going to be on the depth chart next season. Where, you know, I unless Trey Wisner says, guys, I really, really want to put some more stuff on tape. So I'm going to play, but I really want to put some stuff on tape. So get me at least 10 carries. I don't know if you get him 10 carries. You know what I mean? I think there's a point where you may play him early, and then you hopefully get him out of the game, let him at halftime, you know, kind of chill and relax a little bit more in that second half, and let some of those other names come in and run the ball, because you want to be able to build up. Because, again, we don't know. We're not 100% Trey Wisner's coming back right now. I've heard some people leaning that way, and I've heard some people leaning that he is probably going to be either heading to the draft or transferring. I've heard all three from different people. So right now it does feel like you really got to lead your young running backs and young wide receivers a little bit more action in this game.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like he's coming back personally, but we won't know that until probably after the new year, I would imagine. Certainly after the game. I mean, maybe he makes an announcement like Arch Manning did. And I think that they're probably operating as though he's going to be back in terms of what they're looking at in the transfer portal right now. But if I'm Texas, I give him 10 to 12 carries. I give Michael Terry 10 to 15 carries. And the other guys, like, if you get in, great. Like, I don't care if Christian Clark plays personally. I think we pretty much know what we have in Christian Clark. James Simon's a little bit more interesting to me, but you got to get Michael Terry some snaps in there to see. Like, he very well could be the most physical running back on this football team. So see what he's got, and you know, just let him go. I don't know.
Yeah, no, but that's so that kind of puts it to, you know, the expectations. You just want to see your guys. You want to see, really, I think the biggest expectations is we want to see a solid first half. Mm-hmm. You want to see Texas come out, do what they need to do, play well for that entire first half, and then be able to have that room in the second half to do what you want to do. Now, if Texas comes out in that first half and it's 7-3 or 14-10 at halftime, does it change what you want to see in the second half at all? Or are you still sticking with, I don't care what the score is whatsoever, I just want to see some guys get in? Or are you sticking like, you need to stick those starters back in for in the third quarter and try and build some of this lead back up?
I'm kind of back and forth on it, honestly. I do think this win would be big for the program, but I almost feel like getting those guys experience is more important. I don't know. I can't really tell. I think that the best thing that could happen for Texas in this game is they go into halftime up 28-7.
Yeah.
And then they come out in the second half, they get to play KJ Lacy in the fourth quarter, you know?
Oh, I agree. And, like, there is also this point, too, of we don't know. I would assume we're not doing a orange and white game this year or a spring game this year, but we don't know. One of the main reasons we didn't do one last year is because of the playoffs. That was one of the big excuses, was we played so many games, so we can't do one. And I think that kind of also changes up a little bit of what you're playing, you know, how much you're playing these young guys. Mm-hmm. Because if you do have an orange and white game and a scrimmage, even though it's still a scrimmage, you at least get to see your guys out there a little bit more, and you get to see them. And I know you're going to have scrimmages in practice. I know you're going to have all of those things, but I think it might change your viewpoint on, I really got to get Kalik Lockett in, you know, 10, 15 snaps, or I got to get him 20 snaps. I got to get Dalen McCutcheon 25 snaps. I got to get French out there for 10 to 15 snaps. Like, I, that to me is the question of, are you trying to get those guys 10, 15, 20, 25? Because now you're starting to eat into how many plays you're actually going to have in this game, how much you're going to have the ball, how much you're running it, running clock, how much are you trying to speed up so you can get more plays called. And if you have the orange and white game, which I would assume they're not going to have again because it just feels like that's a thing coaches don't want in general. But who knows? Who knows? Because they didn't reach the goals they wanted to. So that being said, I think that changes. If Sark's got it in his mind, we're bringing back the orange and white game, I think it changes his mindset in this game as well.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I tend to agree with you. In terms of the orange and white game, I feel like that's an important thing to have this year.
I feel like it would be good. The whole thing with Sark is, I don't think, and most of these coaches, I think their basic premise is, we don't mind scrimmaging. We don't want to do it in front of you. We don't want to do it in public. We don't want film of it. We don't want to do anything out there for anybody, but we have no problem scrimmaging. We'll scrimmage every day in practice if you'd let us, but I don't necessarily want to make a big to-do about it where it's going to end up costing me NIL money. It's going to end up messing with our budget because guys are going to catch five passes for 85 yards and all of a sudden want to boost.
Yeah. I think you have to have as many game opportunities as you can for like KJ Lacy and Dia Bell specifically. I think that would be really important for both of them.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think we've had the orange and white game the 2 years we went to the playoffs, and the 1 year we didn't this year, we didn't do it. Yeah. Just on that alone, I think we can go in and say we should have it. But I am not the person behind the scenes making those decisions, so I don't get to say that. But I'll say that I do think that there's plenty of good reason to try and bring that back this season. But like, cause again, I get, you know, I've been pretty adamant that one of the things that I thought really hurt Texas this season was the we're playing 16 games attitude from day one.
Yeah.
That they walked in with their chest out a little too much for a team that had not done anything, that these young guys just had not been able to achieve really the success that the guys before them did. And so now you look at the orange and white game as an opportunity to say, well, in this bowl game, you can try and win the bowl game. First and foremost, try and win it. Try and get yourself a 10-win season. Try and show to everybody that you could win by three or four scores against Michigan. And look, it may not matter in the real scheme of things, but when we're having these discussions down the road, when we say strength of schedule has to matter, and we, you know, when Sark is trying to sell whatever next season, hopefully selling whether we're the number one seed or the number two seed, hopefully selling that, not something else. But when he does have to sell those things in the future, that we can say, yeah, we weren't in and we blew it up. Remember Georgia and Florida State and Georgia and Kirby Smart laid a message that people went, Georgia is Georgia. And you like the national narrative, you're trying to shift that Texas is not maybe not team, that Texas is a perennial playoff team. They are a team good enough to be a top 10, top 15 team every single season. You want to be in that conversation, and they're just not quite there yet. It's going to take them a couple more. Two straight playoffs didn't quite get you there because you missed it third. I think if you got a third, it would be a little bit better. I get why you'd want to win this game. And if you add the orange and white game back, I feel like it – and you don't have to, but I feel like it gives you a little bit more leeway in we have to play our young guys in this game. We have to use this as practice for next year. We have to take advantage of everything because we were not ready by the start of SEC play. I'm not even saying Ohio State. We were not ready when we played Florida. And that's a problem. So how do you fix that? But moving the clock forward a little bit, which is playing a meaningful bowl game, trying to win it, but then bringing back that orange and white game.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can do both. I think that you need the practices and all that stuff for this bowl game, and you need to play the bowl game, and you need all the practices for spring football, and you need to play the orange and white game to be as ready as you can possibly be. I know it sounds kind of dumb that you need a football game in, what is it, March or April to get yourself ready for you know, August.
Yeah.
But it keeps, not only does it keep everybody in that mode, but it still gives you a better idea of what these guys look like in a game as opposed to, you know, well, we watched them in practice for for 15 practices and we guess they're ready.
Like, no, and I think the bowl game, the bowl game's even better because you play the orange and white game. You know the guys you're playing against. You know the schemes you're playing against. You know what's coming. And when you play Michigan on the 31st, you don't know what's coming after you. You don't know. Like, they're going to do different things. They're going to use different methods on you. All of that stuff is really big for guys who have only really seen high school and scrimmage, like in-game scrimmages, in practice scrimmages. So I think that is a big piece for this bowl game, is you do want to give those guys a chance to feel that a little bit more. So I only bring up the orange and white game because I think it does let you focus more on a few younger guys, where the younger guys that you're like, these are going to play for us next year, focus more on them, but you don't necessarily have to get all of your young guys in. You don't necessarily have to go, wait, we're trying to make sure our backups who are going to play next year, who are going to be a part of our team, I don't need them to get 20 snaps. But I need the guys who are going to play. I need Dalen McCutcheon to get 25, 30 snaps, because he is going to be a part of the team next season. He's going to be a bigger part of the team with DeAndre Moore leaving. We know that. Mm-hmm. So now Kalik Glock and Jamie French, I would like to be a bigger part of the team. I'd like them to earn it a little bit more, but I don't know if they have yet. And I don't know what's in practice. I don't know where they're at. So that one to me is like, I'd like to see them, but if there's an orange and white game, I'd love to see them more there with another sprint, with another summer, with another year of working on everything, other than where we've kind of, some of these guys probably weren't getting the attention they needed during the season because you're trying to coach up your own guys. I mean, we're digging out of a hole for most of this season on a lot of positions. So for Texas, I think in this bowl game, there are some young guys I really want to see play, but to me, I'd still like to see his team be very competitive. And I think you have to dumb everything down a little bit more. Maybe dumb down is simplify things to make it less rude. Simplify things a little bit more when you put in more guys. We can't run the same motion when you have a bunch of young guys in. You can't audible defensively as much when you have the same guys in. Keep in mind, defensively, we don't even know who's having the green dot in this game.
Probably I still Brad we Spence.
Probably
Anthony Smith.
Probably, but we don't know who's doing it because we would have all assumed it was Leonga LaFau. So even that, when you talk about putting young guys in defensively and getting guys lined up and all of that, the more young guys you have in there, the more you can just get torched because there's nobody who's really played. So it's trying to find that fine line to where you're not teaching bad habits in the bowl game by just putting in a bunch of guys, getting penalties. And then what do they learn? Well, I keep using their names because they're good young players, but Kalik Lockett, we put him in, we used him on emotion. The ball got snapped too soon. And then he came off the field. So what did he learn? He learned that our drive stops when we get a 5-yard penalty before the snap. That's what he learned. He could learn that anywhere else. He doesn't need to learn that in the game. So that to me is why I'd like to see both things happen. I'd like to see an orange and white game come back to give us more of a open place to have a lot of young guys and see those guys in game action. But on the flip of that, I'm with you, Matt. I think you do have to see young guys play. If you're up 28-7 at half, me and you are texting each other thrilled at halftime because this is the way we wanted to see it. This is the chance. And then we'll be like, all right, how many snaps can we give these guys now? Now that we're feeling a little bit better, can we run the ball? Can, you know, second half, if you're up 28-7, that's where you can go, let's see what Michael Terry can do. Let's see if we can lean on him in the second half. Where in the first half, maybe we didn't as much, but now we've got a good lead. We can run the clock a little bit more. We can put him in and just try and get good yardage. That's such a big point of what Texas is looking for, is can they get that big lead early? I'm just trying to set that expectation. Because there's a pretty decent chance after a month off that it's a somewhat slow start for both teams. And so if it is a somewhat slow start for Texas and it is 14-7 or 14-10 at half, the whole talk of what we're saying of what would be great at 28-7 is now out the window. It's a 4-point game. And I think there's a little bit more pressure on Sark to say, okay, now we're starting to pick it up. We scored on that last drive. Or, you know, it's 17-10. We scored in the last two drives. I think we're starting to get it figured out. The rust is off now. Let's go see if we can put two more touchdowns in real quick. And then we can kind of open it up a little bit more. Versus, let's get one drive in the second half and then pull everything out.
Well, the fortunate slash unfortunate, I don't know which way it is, truth of the matter is you don't really have a choice on defense.
Yeah.
Because so many guys are going to be gone. So it's just whatever you want to do on defense. I think that that conversation is more relevant to the offensive side of the ball in terms of the skill position players, particularly Michael Terry and Kalik Lockett and Jamie French and those kind of guys. I'll tell you this, though. Well, first of all, I think one thing we need to figure out is Wink Martindale coaching the defense for Michigan.
I do not know.
I assume that he's probably going to finish it out. Maybe he's going to be a part of the staff next year. I don't know. But if they come out and they play the same kind of defense that they did against Texas last year, I haven't watched any Michigan this year. I need to dive into it. But if they come out and they do the same thing they did last year against Texas, where they just play cover three the whole game and try and win with four guys rushing, I think they're going to get picked apart.
Oh, I mean, I could believe that.
Because if you don't get exotic against Texas and try and confuse the interior of that offensive line and, you know, do the stunts and the twists and bring guys, you know, from the second level and do all those kinds of things, it's going to be really hard to get Arch off of his spot and make things difficult for him.
Yeah, I don't see. I don't see anything. The only thing I see is Sharon Moore's press conference, so I think we can throw all of that information out the window.
He apparently there's some more stuff coming about him today that does not look good.
Oh, really? Shockingly,
yeah, just keeps getting worse. Getting
better. Look, and I get Joe what you're saying, but I also want to see Arch get more reps. I want Arch to play some of this game. Now, the big question is, Joe, can we NIL DJ Lagway? DJ Campbell to stay. Can we NIL Cole Hudson to stay for this game?
He has to play in this game. Otherwise, he has no shot at getting drafted.
He doesn't, though. That's the thing, is I agree he has no shot, but that doesn't mean he has to play. Like, that's the thing. These guys don't have to. They can walk away and say, I'm going to do my other prep and I'm doing whatever else. I do think that Texas, saying that we have not seen these guys being out yet, I could believe that there has been, guys, if you play in this game, there's a little extra money in it for you to come and play for your name, image, and likeness to be used for advertising for this game or whatever else, so that you guys can play and protect Arch Manning. I don't want to put Arch Manning out there with an interior offensive line. Like, if Connor Robertson decides he walked, if he decides to walk out, and you go, we're playing three new, Connor Stroh's not there anymore. If we're playing three dudes who don't really play on the interior of that offensive line, then it becomes much scarier for leaving Arch Manning in there. And I'm with you on that. But if you're able to do that, my assumption is they're going to try and do it. It would make sense for DJ Campbell to get more stuff on tape. It definitely makes sense for Cole Hudson to get more stuff on tape. Same for Connor Robertson. All of them, it makes sense to get more stuff on tape. They played much better at the end of the season than they did in the beginning. So it would make sense to try and leave the lasting image of them playing better. So I think it makes sense. But that is a big question of, if we start to get those opt-outs, it changes the opinion about how much you want Arch Manning back there, because you don't want it to be there. You don't want him to be able to get hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you. From what I understand, those guys are practicing.
No, that's what I'm saying. I've heard, they're all there. So
yeah, so you're probably right. There's probably a little bit of an extra NIL bump in it for him to play. I don't think DJ Campbell really needed to. I think he's going to get drafted regardless, but I think he just wants to finish. You know.
No, and I look. And DJ Campbell came back last year, and he could have gone. And I'll say this for DJ Campbell. I don't think he has to. He's getting drafted because he is that type of athletic build. We know what he can do. he'll get picked. The thing is, if he finishes the season stronger, also showing that you're there and, you know, not opting out, I think does pay in some coaches, some GMs' minds. They appreciate that. Not all, but I think there are some who will look at that and say, this guy finished out. He's a true team player. We should get, you know, this is a guy that we like as a character guy that when you're taking him where they're not taking him to start day one anyway, that I think that does make a difference. So I get that. But that to me is a big piece. If you like, it feels right now like they're trying to keep a lot of this offense ready to go for this. And so if they do that, then I want Arch to play as long as Arch can stay in there. Now, if we're up 35-7, it's okay. You can put in some other guys now. But, you know, I want Arch to go and get reps. I want him to – I need him to be really, really good next season. So I'm up for all the reps he can get.
I understand everybody's fear with Arch getting injured in this game. Bottom line is, if he does, you still have like 9 months to get him healthy. I guess 8 months to get him healthy, give or take. But, you know, at the end of the day, he needs this game just as much as any of the other young guys. He needs to get as many reps as he can possibly get against a good defense. Michigan is a good defense. They're top half of the Big Ten in just about everything.
Yeah.
So it'll be a good test for him, and it'll be another game that helps him get better as we go into the offseason. And I think he is going to play well.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And just real quick, I mean, I don't know what you mean by built on a paper foundation, Sooner Cowboys, but just because you make the playoff once under Brent Venables doesn't mean that you're not built on a paper foundation. I mean, let's be a little bit consistent. You were 6-6 last year. Was that what it was? 5-7, 6-6?
No, he's just trolling. Hey, enjoy your time.
Score a touchdown against Texas before you call them paper.
Matt, I just want to tell everybody, enjoy your time with Sooner Cowboys now, because he's going to run away like he did when Texas beat him and didn't show back up for like 3 months. What, two months? It took him that he disappeared after Texas whooped Oklahoma. He disappeared for 2 months. He's going to be gone after he talks all this trash and they get killed by Alabama because they don't have an offense.
Yeah. I hope we use John Mateer for the meathead of the day, by the way.
Oh, yeah. We may. John Mateer he's just not been there. Tomorrow, I think we're going to rank the quarterbacks in the draft class. And I was ranking the quarterbacks in the draft class, in the playoffs, sorry, not the draft class, the playoffs. And I was ranking them. John Mateer just kept sliding, Matt. Just kept sliding down that list.
Wait, we're talking about the quarterbacks in the NFL draft or the SEC?
No, the playoffs. And the quarterbacks, the 12 quarterbacks in the playoffs right now.
Oh, I'd love to rank that.
So we'll rank that tomorrow. We'll rank
my rankings ready.
Yes, we'll do that tomorrow. But yeah, good stuff there about expectations. I did get to throw in a little bit to try and, you know, sway some minds. Maybe we can orange white game back. You know, I appreciate everything they did this year. It's fun. But you know, I think the reason that we all accepted we didn't play the orange and white game was because we just played in two playoffs. Not an excuse anymore. Did not play. So I think bringing back something would be better than that. Would be better than nothing. All right. Let's go ahead and take our first break and come back. I want to get into the Texas versus Lemoyne. That game last night, what we saw in that game. We also want to get into our NFL power rankings, update those, Matt. Talk a little bit more NFL. Maybe we'll get into the current MVP race. I think it's a three-horse race right now. So we may get into that a little bit more and what those players need to do to get to there as we continue on here on Open Gym here on Texas Sports Unfiltered.
At Sleep Cycle Center, we can treat your sleep apnea in various ways. My story starts 15 years ago with the loss of my father to undiagnosed untreated sleep apnea. And this is a very preventable disease and treatment options are various. Millions of people across America have sleep apnea and they fail to realize the early warning signs. Fatigue, daytime sleepiness, and snoring are the most common signs. We'll find the best solution using advanced technology, oral and epigenetic appliances, or CPAP. We offer weight loss, oral surgery, and laser treatments. Schedule your appointment today and get your sleep evaluation.
If you're looking to remodel a kitchen, renovate your bathroom, or maybe add some new life to your outdoor space, reach out to our friends at McCall Custom Homes. They are custom home builders and renovators here in Central Texas, and they've been doing it in Central Texas for more than 40 years. It's a father-son team with a ton of experience, and all of that experience is here in the Austin area. So they know what it takes to turn an Austin area home into something truly, truly special. Right now, our friends at McCall Custom Homes are offering free estimates to TSU listeners so they can come out to your place, hear your vision, they can tell you what they can do, and then you can go from there. Don't just take my word for it. Check out their website, McCallCustomHomesATX.com. Look at the gallery of jobs they've done over the last four decades. And then when you're ready, again, reach out to them and they will come to you. McCallCustomHomesATX.com, or you can call or text Mike McCall directly at 512-633-9580. It's McCall Custom Homes. We build value into your home.
Hi, this is Tom McKay, owner of Audiovisual Consultations, and all of us at Audiovisual would like to wish you and your family a happy holiday season. This time of year can get a little hectic, so we want to remind you to relax, enjoy the season with your family and friends, and give us a call at 512-255-8678 for all of your home entertainment needs. This is my favorite time of the year. I love the holidays, the music, the decorations, the presents, the whole darn thing. So this year I'm asking all you listeners to help make this a special holiday for everyone. Smiles are contagious and free, so let's give them away like the government gives away your money. Let's high-five strangers on the street. Hold the door for people behind us. Tip your servers more than they've ever been tipped before. Give to a charity, or hell, give to a bunch of charity. If someone does a good job, tell them they did a good job. Pat someone on the butt. Sing in public places just because it feels good. And as always, hug your kids until they beg you to stop. Watch some games with your friends and make love to your wife or your husband. I know there's some women listening too. You can still give us a call at 512-255-8678 if you'd like to get some cool electronics, but more importantly, have a great holiday season and a fucking awesome next year.